This is Edward October, host of OctoberPod on YouTube. Hear that jingle jingle? It could be Kris Kringle, or a home invader looking for an open window, a jilted lover looking for revenge, or a disgruntled co-worker hoping to spike your eggnog with arsenic. The girls of our true crime podcast are always on Santa's nice list, but the crimes they discuss are very naughty indeed. Listener discretion is advised.
Merry Christmas to Jen and Cam of our True Crime Podcast and all of their listeners from Mike
and Beck,
A Brew Crime.
We hope you all have a crime-free holiday.
We wish you a crappy winter. We wish you a crappy winter. We wish you a crappy winter and a happy new year. Good stories we bring to you and your friends. Good stories for winter and a happy new year. So bring us some beer and true crime. So bring us some beer and true crime. So bring us some beer and true crime and bring it right here.
Hi, Jan.
Hey, Cam. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm pretty excited. We're on our eighth Nightmare Before Christmas.
Eight.
Eight.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight.
You're
Nightmares
good.
Before Christmas. Thanks, Jen.
It's excited. I hope everyone is having as much fun as we are. Think they are?
I don't know.
We're all recording most of it in one day, so please leave feedback and tell us if you like it or not.
And if you don't.
Yeah, just be quiet.
Just move on down the dial, as they used to say.
Only tell us if you like it. Keep your trap shut if you don't. Does that work?
Trap. That's slang, Jen.
Oh my gosh, nope. Can't use slang.
Nope.
It's all the King's English from
it is the
now
proper
on.
English that we speak in this podcast. See, I got that accent in there a little
anyway,
bit.
Let me explain real quick, in case for some reason you're just popping on number eight. We are doing the 12 Nightmares Before Christmas. We started on December 12th, and we are working our way until December 23rd. We're doing mini-ish type episodes. Some are kind of longer, most of them are kind of short. We decided to do this because we are taking a mini hiatus from Christmas Eve all the way up, and we will be back January 9th.
It's a Wednesday, because that's when our episodes drop every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday. So if you, for some reason, just dropped in on this, the eighth Nightmare Before Christmas, you might want to, you've got, you know, seven episodes to catch up on. So go do that.
Right now.
Or after this one. So what is our eighth Nightmare, Camille?
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Cam.
You ready to go?
What is our eighth Nightmare, Cam?
You've already said Camille like 5 million times.
I know, but so I'm trying really hard.
It doesn't matter.
It's so hard.
So hard to me. Okay, you ready?
Yep. Let's go. Eighth Nightmare Before Christmas.
This case is pretty known. In fact, there's a podcast devoted exclusively to this. Please check it out. I'll give you those stats at the end, but I did not do justice by any means. But like we had talked about, we went through these pretty quick. We didn't dive in. We saved the dive-ins for our episodes, our longer ones.
We just gave you the, there wasn't enough information to do full episodes, or we just didn't dive in and research as much as we normally do.
Because
we wanted
to
get these out.
This is just a little holiday present for...
It's a little extra for y'all.
Little something.
Because we love you.
A little.
We appreciate you.
And it's going to be a Christmas miracle if we pull this off, I got to tell you.
It will be a Christmas miracle.
It really will
God,
be.
It will so be a Christmas miracle. Because even when we plan our episodes, we're still going down to the last minute to get them out.
It's terrible.
Half-ass. Yep. That's what our true crime half-ass podcast.
That's what it should have been named. Seriously.
Good right. Intentions podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Eighth nightmare. Whatever the hell we're calling this, I don't know.
Yeah, at this point, really.
Yeah.
So the body of a white female was found naked alongside Route 250 near Littleton, Wetzel County, West Virginia.
Mountain Mama.
On February 13th, 1983. A pair of senior citizens. Could you imagine how traumatic that would be for them? They're out there.
It would be traumatic for anybody.
Taking a little walk, and they see it, and guess what they think it is?
A little walker. I bet you they thought it was a mannequin.
They did. They thought it was a mannequin out there.
It's never a mannequin.
It's never a mannequin. The body had been placed in the area recently, as determined, because there was snow on the ground, and the snow was absent on the body, so it had not laid there. Okay, tire tracks and footprints indicate she died at a different area and was transported to this location when she was found.
Wow.
Now, this was February 13th, 1983. Mm-hmm. Stay with me. It was presumed she had died approximately 2 days earlier. She had not been sexually assaulted, although definitely foul play involved in her death.
Well, obviously, you just don't end up naked on the side of the road.
Usually. Well, there was that one time, but we're not going to talk about that. The woman's cause of death was not officially determined, but they believe that she may have been strangled or suffocated. They determined her age to be somewhere around 35 to 45. Her hair was all burned.
That's red for all those people that never got the Crayola colors.
The woman's legs and underarms were shaven, indicating that she groomed herself nicely. She wasn't transient or a hitchhiker or out on the road.
And, I mean, it's winter. Most women don't shave their legs in the winter, right?
No shave November. Mm-hmm. So a person of interest did eventually emerge from the case of this murdered female. Somebody apparently saw a man. He was determined to be middle-aged, white male, approximately 5 feet 10, weighing somewhere between 185 to 200, which always floors me. How would they know that, though? Like, he was seen. This person was seen near the area where her body was found and dumped.
Oh.
So they believe maybe he was disposing of her body or coming back to visit it, something like that. Police, however, are skeptical that this woman was the victim of the subsequent killings we're going to talk about right now. Next up, the body of 28-year-old Lisa Nichols, who also used the last name Jarvis.
Family name for me.
Was found on September 16th, 1984, along Interstate 40 near West Memphis, Arkansas.
Wow.
She was a resident of West Virginia, and authorities were not able to come into contact with her family members for some time. How sad is this?
That's very sad.
Indicating that she was estranged from them. She went unidentified for almost a year. Her body wasn't identified until June 1985, and it was 9 months after she was found strangled and left wearing only a sweater. She was identified through fingerprints. She, too, had strawberry blonde hair at the time of her death. Her remains were identified by a couple from Florida who had allowed her to stay with them for a period of time. They believe that maybe she was murdered after leaving a truck stop and maybe was attempting to hitchhike. So possibly a trucker.
It's normally a trucker, isn't it? Yeah. Or the high probability of...
January 1st, 1985. A bound body was found at the roadside near Jellicoe, Tennessee, in Campbell County on Interstate 75. Although her murder occurred about 3 days before, presumably somewhere around December 30th, she was already in the advanced stage of decomposition.
Oh.
Now, like the others, she had short red hair, and it was somewhat curly. They determined that she was somewhere between the ages of 17 and 25, but she could have been as old as 30. The victim was found clothed with a tan pullover, a shirt, and jeans. This Jane Doe, had green or hazel eyes, which could not be positively confirmed as the certain color because of the state of her body. The young woman also had freckles, various scars, and burn marks on her body, and was 2.5 to 5 months pregnant when she was strangled. Now, here's the good part. It was announced on September 6th, 2018, year. The victim had been identified as Tina Marie McKinney, farmer of Indiana. Fingerprinting was the method of IDing her. She was 21 at the time of her death and was last seen in Indianapolis accompanied by a...
Trucker
headed to Kentucky.
Eastbound and down.
Rolling up and drinking.
We're going to say, well, they can't say
good. I used to love that song.
I know.
Okay. Farmer had one daughter prior to disappearing in 1984. She was reported missing by her family, yet authorities in Indiana did not enter her into the national databases, as there was no law in that state, like the others, which required them to do so.
What?
Right? Why wouldn't you do that? I don't know.
One of those, well, she was a troubled... Was she troubled? Well, I'm sure you'd... Wow.
The next victim was found in Campbell County on April 3rd, 1985. Her hair color is unknown. They did not know if she was, in fact, a victim of the red-headed murder. Redhead murders. These are referred to as the redhead murders.
Why did they not know the color of her hair?
She was believed to have died between 1981 and 1984, 1 to 4 years before. Now, unlike the other victims,
didn't have hair. or skin.
It's, yeah.
Or anything.
Yeah. Unlike the other victims, she was younger, between 9 and 15 years old. Most of the others were estimated to be at least over 16 years old. She was located by a passerby about 200 yards off of Big Wheel Gap Road, which is 4 miles southwest of Jellicoe. The cause of the girl's death is unknown, as her remains were partial, but still determined to be a homicide. 32 bones, including her skull, were all recovered from the scene. Her skull allowed some facial reconstruction. This is telling for later. She wore a necklace and a bracelet made of plastic buttons from clothing. There was a pair of boots recovered that were size 5, which may or may not have belonged to the victim, and a few scraps of clothing. Again, due to the condition of her body, her height, weight, eye color, and hair color were impossible to determine. Recent analysis of the victim's remains indicated that she was not native to the area she was discovered in. The test showed she was most likely born in Florida or Central Texas. Later,
it's amazing how they can do that.
Right?
Just amazing.
Later, relocating to the Midwest or Rocky Mountain states, even the Southwest or Pacific Coast. So the skeletonized? Yeah, that's right. The skeletonized body of a red-haired female was located on March 31st, 1985, in Pleasant View, Cheatham County, Tennessee. She was believed to have died 3 to 5 months before, but undetermined cause of death. Her case is possibly linked to the redhead murders because her remains were found at the side of Interstate 24 between mile markers 29 and 30. Now, unlike some of the victims, she wore clothing, a shirt, sweater, pants, and underwear. She was white, between 5 feet and 5 feet 2 inches tall.
Tiny.
Like me. They couldn't determine her weight. They did examine her teeth, and she had some evidence of overlapping in her teeth, so no braces. They believe that she was somewhere between 31 and 40 at the time of her death. Here we go. Up next.
All right.
Body of a woman who died by suffocation was found in a White Admiral refrigerator in Gray, Knox County, Kentucky, on April 1st, 1985, alongside Route 25.
I'm seeing a pattern.
Right? The refrigerator had a decal of the words Superwoman on the front. The victim had been dead for a few days and was nude except for two distinctive necklace pendants, one of a heart and the other of a gold-covered eagle.
Now, was she suffocated by somebody placing something over her face, or was she suffocated in...
I don't think she died in there. I think she was suffocated and put in there.
Somebody suffocated her and she... Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I believe that. The victim had been dead for a few days and was nude except for two distinctive necklace pendants. One was of a heart and the other of a gold-colored eagle, and two pairs of socks, one white and the other white with green and yellow stripes.
On both feet? And when was this?
It's not the fad.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not the fad. I think it was one.
Oh, she had two. Like one her socks mismatched. Mismatched. I thought she had two socks on each foot.
There were reports that this victim may have been soliciting a ride to North Carolina over the CB radio. 500 people attended her funeral, which was also televised. The case was a local sensation in Gray, as the town was a, quote, quiet and sleepy, end quote, place where little out of the ordinary usually happened. Not always the case. Distinguishing features of her body included a number of moles on the right side of her neck, near one ankle and below each breast, a yellow-stained upper incisor, and a scar and other marks on her abdomen, indicating that she had bore at least one child. Her eyes were light brown, and her hair was red and nearly a foot long, which fits the pattern of the redhead killer.
Right.
After her autopsy, it was determined that she was between 24 and 35 years old and approximately 4 feet 9 to 4 feet 11 inches tall.
Tiny.
That's tiny. It's also possible that she owned a pair of boots found near the refrigerator. Several missing persons have been eliminated as possible matches for the victim. After the case was publicized in January 2013, the police received some tips, but it is unknown if any became solid leads.
Well, obviously, probably hadn't. This case is pretty big. We would have heard, correct?
On October 1st, 2018.
I've heard.
It hasn't been solved.
Okay.
On October 1st, 2018, it was announced that she had been positively identified as Epsi Regina Black Pilgrim of North Carolina.
Wow.
That's a name.
That is a name. Is it Native American?
No, because I think she said that it's white. Pilgrim? She was white. These victims are white, aren't they?
Is it black?
Black Pilgrim. It says Epsi Regina Black Pilgrim.
So it'd be Epsi Regina Black, then Pilgrim, or Black Pilgrim, all one word?
I don't know. It's Black Pilgrim, two words.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I gotcha.
She was probably married, or that was, yeah.
I don't know. Next. Mm-hmm. Next, thank you. No, it's thank you next.
Thank you, next. Next.
No, that's the Ariana Grande. Okay. April 14th, 1985. I'm hip. Yeah, right. It's a slang word. We don't use slang. April 14th, 1985, a young white female's body was located in Greenville, Greene County, Tennessee. She had died by severe blunt force trauma and possibly a stab wound 3 to 6 weeks before and was in advanced stage of decomposition. Oh. Her fingerprints, however, were possible to obtain, as well as, thank goodness, her DNA and dental information. She had been approximately 6 to 8 weeks pregnant shortly before she died, but had miscarried recently.
Hmm.
She was estimated to be somewhere between 14 and 20 years old.
Oh, gosh.
Possibly as old as 25. She was 5 feet 4 inches to 5 feet 6 inches and weighed somewhere between 130 and 140. She had a slight overbite and had some fillings in her teeth, which indicated that she had some dental care in her lifetime. She also had painted her fingernails pink. Because she had light brown to blonde hair with red highlights, it's possible that this case could be related to the Redhead murders. Authorities hoped in late April 1985 that they would identify her body through fingerprints, but were unsuccessful. Six missing women were ruled out as possible identities for this victim.
So were all these women, I just have to ask, I don't know if you know this, were they all true redheads?
No, there's a couple that aren't, or they're strawberry blondish.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
November 2018. The victim was identified. Obviously, they've been working on this lately.
Right.
November 2018, the victim was identified as New Hampshire native Elizabeth Lamont, who was 17 at the time of her death. She had disappeared on April 6th, 1984. Now, think about that. That's pretty wild. She disappeared 1984 and just last month was identified. She was identified through a DNA match after a DNA profile was obtained from her family by the New Hampshire police in 2017. She had been staying at a group home in Manchester and never returned after going on a furlough. Her DNA was...
Did they not report her?
Her DNA was initially taken to compare against the adult victim of the Bear Brook murders.
Oh, yeah. That was a great podcast, too.
As an unidentified girlfriend of the suspect was known by the same first name. So here's what we know about this so far. It's believed that most of these victims remain unidentified due to being estranged or not close with existing family members, or they may not be native to the states in which they've been found. In 1985, not long after the Greene County victim was found, the states of Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Arkansas, and Mississippi requested that the FBI assist with these cases. There's been several inconsistencies with some of the victims. Some were found with or without clothes. Some had sexual encounters before their murder. Some didn't. Some were pregnant. Some had lost the baby. Some had babies. During the conference, it was stated that 4 victims found in Texas and a victim found in 1981 in Ohio, nicknamed Buckskin Girl, who was later identified as Marsha King, were ruled out as possible victims in 1985.
I remember reading about her.
A possible suspect emerged in the mid-80s when a 37-year-old truck driver attacked and attempted to strangle a woman with reddish hair, but he was later dismissed. Although he left her lying near a highway, presuming she was dead, another suspect was a 32-year-old trucker in Pennsylvania who was questioned after kidnapping and raping a young woman in the state of Indiana before she managed to escape. This suspect was also dismissed after being questioned by Tennessee police. So to wrap this all up, we don't know.
We have no idea.
No idea. Here's a little tidbit. In 2018, some students enrolled in a sociology class studied the case with the help of their instructor.
Right.
The case coined the name Bible Belt Strangler. Also, the information developed by the class was submitted to an FBI profiler, and that they had come up with this. They said that they believed that the suspect was a white male born between 1936 and 1962, making him between 23 and 49 in 1985. He was likely a commercial trucker frequenting Interstate 40.
That sounds about right.
And they estimated his height and weight to be about 5'9 to 6'2 and somewhere between 180 to 270 pounds. And they believe his work was either based in or near the city of Knoxville, Tennessee.
Students did this, huh?
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
That's pretty interesting. Class, huh? Could you imagine how fun that would be?
Way fun.
I would love that. Wish there was something around here.
There is.
We should check something out.
Only if we knew a high school teacher that was teaching that class next year.
Well, I want a college class.
Yeah, I know.
That was interesting. What's the podcast?
So there is a podcast called The Redhead Murders.
Mm-hmm.
And I would advise, it's every episode is, I mean, they obviously are diving really deep into it. I would suggest if you're interested in that, check it out.
Awesome.
I think it's weird that, like, you would just target redheads, but I guess just like anything else, right?
Well, Boutros loved his feet. Yeah, you have a certain type. All right, we will see you guys tomorrow with the ninth.
Ninth. Da-da-da.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
So remember, lock your doors.
Keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya. You know what else is hard? You are a pervert.
This case is pretty...
Like me?
Well known. Yes, like you, exactly. You've been known to a few, haven't you? Tire tracks and feet print.
Footprints.
Is it footprints? That's mm-hmm. what I wrote. Oh, well, hold on. Wait, what? Oh, shit.
Did hold you
on.
Not number them?
No, because they printed out. Hold on. The second victim. That has to be this one, though, right?
Well, after the first comes the second.
Shut up, Jen. Hold on.
First day after Christmas, my
that's old. Okay, that's old. Hold on.
And so I chopped the pear tree down and burned it just for spite. And with a secret
Yeah, keep talking. Let me just do this. Let me figure this out real quick.
I shot that blasted partridge, my true love.
You've never even heard of that song.
My true love. My true love gave to me. That's the only part I remember. We sang that in concert choir when I was a senior, I think.
Oh, that's pretty good. I like it.
This is Jennifer talking, trying to fill up airspace while Camille does whatever. Should I read tweets? Let's read tweets.
This cannot be right here. Hold on.
Gamera is really neat. Gamera is full of meat. We love watching Gamera.
I think I've cut that out.
That
means like ownership. Person of interest had emerged in this case. Oh, I guess that was right. That didn't seem right though. Okay. As an employee or possibly even a customer at a bar, she was subsequently buried after a funeral took place. West Virginia authorities are skeptical if this woman was a victim of the span of killings we're going to discuss.
You ran all that close together that I could not understand what I couldn't follow it.
Okay.
Try it again. Yeah. Would it be Jellico or Helico?
Gelatin? Jello? With kitty food in it? I don't
gotcha.
Know.
Gotcha.
And what? I'll talk about that in a minute.
Because of heat, probably?
Like the others. That was January. Like the others, she had short...
It's Texas, right?
Tennessee.
Oh, never mind.
Batting 100 there, girl.
Oops.
Sorry, you're a mess.
Sorry.
It's okay. Am I boring you? You're yawning.
No, I'm just tired.
It was announced on September 6th of this year, really recently. The victim had
2006 of this year?
I'm sorry. I'm tired too, man.
Copy paste.
No, I wrote it right. I just said it wrong.
Okay.
I'm ready. What is wrong with people? Like, people are crazy.
There's no Cookie Monster in this one, though.
It's the redhead monster.
Could you imagine having the... Any identifying marks? Yeah, she's got a yellow incisor.
Animal.
Or she's got a lot of moles on her left side. You know what I mean? I mean, that's...
Terrible. I get it, though.